2 here on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio, Sat T.R. Shaw in the Mobile Kid Tech studio at Rogers Arena. Watching the Bonies doing the rounds here at the rink as they get ready for Canucks and Minnesota Wild tonight. We are in the Kintech studio, Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. It is a Mailbag Friday. We just had Patrick Alvin join the show, and the gauge of our listeners, and this is how I think we did a decent enough job, Sat, is that some people are calling us cowards. We didn't ask hard enough questions, and other people are like, yeah, you right. asked the right questions. So we struck the chord right in the middle. That some people like it, some people don't, so that means we did an okay job.
People can have whatever opinion they want. It's completely fine. And whatever, it doesn't matter. The point of interviews for me is to get answers or try to get answers, and it's not an interrogation, it's an interview.
Yes.
And I get there are a lot of fans that are upset, right? And what people are saying, you got to give them a piece of your mind. It's like, well, we're not going to get the GM on a yell at them. What I mean? Be like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, so you try to have a conversation with them and have an interview and try to get some answers to some questions and things of that nature. But I understand the frustration. Fans are disappointed. I mean, it's been a really tough year. There was some real hope last year. JT Miller, a fan favorite, gets traded this year. Now the team doesn't look as good all of a sudden. Pettersson is struggling. There's an existential crisis about where this team is going, especially Quinn Hughes' future. So I get where this frustration is coming from right now from the fans.
Ultimately, we're trying to get you a clearer view of what the organization is trying to do with an exclusive interview with the general manager. If you happen to miss it, it'll be up on the Canuck Central podcast feed, where you can get all of our Canuck Central podcasts and post-game shows and everything in between on Canucks Central. All right, let's get to it. It's the open. No, it's not. It's the mailbag on Canuck Central. I just missed doing the open today.
I know. Erica texted in earlier. She's like, can you guys please be positive? It's been so much negativity and toxicity. Mm. The mailbag's usually fun, right?
Uh-oh.
No?
Uh-oh.
No?
Uh-oh. It might not be very fun today.
Oh,
well,
no.
You know, I think this is part and parcel with an atmospheric river coming this weekend here in the Lower Mainland. Yeah.
So. There's one coming?
Yeah. A storm is brewing.
Yeah.
When is it coming? On Saturday?
People know the rain is coming.
Tomorrow, I think. Yeah.
Okay. It's brought the mood down.
That's all okay. Right. You know what? Golf season felt like it was almost here, and now it couldn't be further away.
Although it was a nice walk to the rink today, I'm not going to lie.
Right by the Campbell-Street Bridge construction.
Yes.
That was actively not happening.
Oh, yeah. That didn't see much going on again today.
No.
But I digress.
Anyway, we'll start with a light one from Justin in East Van. Have you ever procrastinated to avoid an important deadline?
Oh. I mean,
my school pretty much was like
all of school,
all of schooling, like, even university.
Yeah,
I mean, you get it done on time. You procrastinate, and then you get the pressure of you have hours left.
Yes,
and it's amazing how motivated you can be when you're on a time limit to get something done.
Yeah, just one more game of NHL. That's it. Just one more game. Oh, I got 2 hours left to write this essay, and I have to read the entire book. This is bad.
Now everyone has ChatGPT though, so it's fine.
Yeah. Have you done that? Like the getting the Cole's notes on a book with ChatGPT? I haven't done it.
I'm sure.
Well, you don't even use ChatGPT.
No. I'm against it.
You are above it.
Yeah. I like to think so.
So don't use ChatGPT?
I just I've never had a reason to. I've always been like, I'll just Google something.
I haven't either, but I do. I know some people do find it very useful.
Oh, it's very useful.
You know,
very useful.
Reach is a big ChatGPT guy.
Do you have a business plan through ChatGPT or something?
I probably should. I should use it for more for definitely more useful things rather than just like checking my grammar from time to time, finding out a meal plan. Hey, build me out a meal plan, less than 2,000 calories. That would be great.
That was the one that you brought up that I was like, you know what? That might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Next one from Jay. Not as light. Why haven't Rutherford and Alvin been fired yet?
I mean, the season's not over, number one. Number two, they had success last year, and I think management ownership believes in management. Like, yeah. I really do believe that. I don't think we're at that stage where we're going to see changes in management. I mean, the only thing that could happen is if somebody decides to walk away. If Rutherford's like, I'm done or something, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, I don't foresee anybody getting fired within the next few months.
Yeah, it's been a really tough year.
Obviously, if you look at the grand scheme, this is the third full season. Two of the three have not gone well. But there is still – if Pettersson rediscovers his game, you're in a better spot. And so part of me is, yes, I'm frustrated with how today went down. But some of the failures of this season are hard to put on management. Like Pettersson turning into a pumpkin. Don't think that was very expected.
Yeah.
Okay. 100 point players at 26 years old don't just become pumpkins, okay? Usually they remain pretty good until their 30s. But that's happened with Elias Pettersson, and somewhat on the player more than it is anybody else as he tries to work his way out of this. And the JT Miller thing, I mean, they doubled down on JT knowing that there was friction between him and Pettersson. It worked last year, and then it blew up this year. So I wouldn't say that was unavoidable, but as Rutherford hinted at earlier, you know, they felt like the issue had been solved, only that it was just a ticking time bomb rather than it actually being solved. So, you know, there's some blame to go around, but I still think in the overall they've done some good things, and this year some of the struggles have been unavoidable for the team.
Yeah, I mean, yes, there have been some unavoidable things, but you still made a lot of the decisions to bring the guys in,
yes,
right, and keep going with the core. So you can't escape culpability. And ultimately, for me, it comes down to one thing. Can you turn this around into a contender again and keep Quinn Hughes? Like, to me, that's the story here.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
That's the priority now. I don't think, like, bringing in a new management group helps you do that, though.
If anything, it might do the opposite. Mm. It's like, hey, there's a lot of change going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, next one. From Brent, how can Alvin be happy with the players we currently have, given where the Canucks are in the standings?
There is a lot of frustration with the inconsistencies of this season, and they have taken some of that blame on themselves. They've already moved out pieces that they brought in over the summer to try and rectify some of their mistakes, but ultimately those were moves that they made. You know, again, so much of the season comes down to Elias Pettersson and everything that's gone on with his game and around him has been the biggest reason for this season being such a big flop. And he is the sole person that can change it more than anything else with a strong final 20 games. So, like, yeah, I want to put more on management. I want to yell and I want to have my trident out and get all, you know, Anchorman about it, but it's just, let's be real. Like, last week, the story was the season is failing because of Elias Pettersson. All season, the story has been the season is failing because of Elias. It's still because of Elias Pettersson. They need him to be a better player, and that's not on management. We praised them at this time last year for being able to get a deal done for Pettersson at the number they got it done at. Just none of us foresaw that Pettersson would become the pumpkin that he is today.
Next one from...
I don't know what else people want to say. Like, nothing's changed. It's still Pettersson that's the problem with the roster, the biggest problem with the roster.
It all of it comes down to your highest paid player being worth the money.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, people wonder about trades for him. The interest isn't quite there.
Yeah.
And to begin with, you got to find a star if you try to move him anyways. I mean, it all comes back to him getting better. And I do think he is going to turn his game around. It's just, can you do it this year?
Yeah. Can you start to do it this year to give you some confidence, at least, going into the summer and into next season?
The next one from Gear. With this crazy seller's market, why didn't the Canucks do anything?
Patrick Alvin didn't have any great answers for us when we just spoke to him. He didn't have any great answers when he spoke to the media. Essentially, the company line is the offers weren't good enough. And they weren't up to what they expected to get for those players, especially for Brock Besser. Now, Sat, you mentioned off the top of the show. Doesn't sound like the offers were there.
At least from, okay, so Canuck sources maintain that the offers were not compelling enough for both those players.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from other teams yet and, like, you know, what really was out there, what wasn't out there. Again, it's just, you know, hours after the deadline and, you know, take some days and we'll see, you know, what comes of it. So what truly is the truth. But, you know, they maintain. And if you actually look at some of the situations, as you outlined a bit earlier when we were on with Landon and Bick during crossover, the team that really seemed to have interest in him is a team that really ran out of time late,
yeah.
And that was the Carolina Hurricanes. And
Eric Tulski spelled it out.
Yeah.
We wanted to do other things. Rantanen took too long. We weren't able to do anything else.
To add on to that question, this one from David, how is there not a good enough offer when players worse than Brock Besser were going for second-round picks?
Honestly, it's mind-boggling. It really is. Because, yeah. You know, like we asked Patrick, these are guys who have been productive this year and even more productive than some guys who got traded. And, you know, I know Suter had the game-winning goal in the playoffs or the series-winning goal, but he didn't have a big playoff. He had like 3 points or whatever it was, or 4 points. It wasn't anything huge. But Besser had a really good playoff.
7 goals.
So it's like
13 games.
Yeah, and if you are a team that is a contender, you probably have a center who can set up a winger. So this whole notion of he needs a guy to set him up, like a good team probably has that guy anyways. So I have a hard, like, I'm surprised that Besser didn't have more value considering what was out there and considering what was given up. Like, it's a big, I totally understand why people are flummoxed by this,
okay.
Are surprised by this.
So look through the teams. Okay, there wasn't a ton of buyers this year, not big time premium buyers. Tampa, they spent their first round picks on Yanni Gourde and Oliver Bjorkstrand, right? So you could take them off the list as a team that could have been looking at Brock Besser. The Florida Panthers, they spent their first round picks on pretty much everything. Seth Jones, they brought him in. At the death, they brought in Brad Marchand on a conditional second. But the only first-round pick they had was for 2028 anyways. And that's what, if Brad Marchand hits the conditions, it's going to move to 2028. Maple Leafs, they needed a center, so they went and got Scott Laughton. They also wanted a defenseman. They got Brandon Carlo. They were also in on Mikko Rantanen. That didn't work out. So they were prioritizing a lot of other things, but they were not prioritizing Brock Besser. That's essentially all of the big-time buyers in the Atlantic Division. You go through the Metro, right? Carolina, take them off the list because they had to wait on Rantanen's deal getting done. They might have been interested in Brock. New Jersey, probably take them off the list after Jack Hughes gets hurt, right? They could use a right winger, though,
yeah.
Right? But they're looking at everybody else and being like, do we want to spend in this market?
Yeah.
They did a couple of things, but they didn't do anything too big after the Jack Hughes news of earlier this week. He's out for the season. And then Washington, they only spent the second on Anthony Beauvillier. Now, would they have been better served going after Brock Besser? I think they probably just said we could use a speedy guy playing further down our lineup more than we can Brock Besser. Like, is Brock Besser going to play on our power play? Is he going to fit those kinds of things? Are we going to pay the price to do that? Like, there's all the teams in the Eastern Conference. We know Dallas went after Rantanen. Colorado prioritized centers. Maybe the Vegas Golden Knights, but they don't have any picks either. So it's just, like, when you do the process of elimination, it's hard to see which team was going to be the one that paid the first round pick plus for Brock Besser.
What would you have done it though for a second?
A second and a prospect, I still would have done it.
Or just a second.
Yeah.
I'd do it for a second.
I think that's,
but then you get it, like, Jim Rutherford has always been a guy that, like, if you don't meet my price, I'm not trading.
No doubt. But at the same time, like, again, because they said the offers weren't compelling enough, right? And that's what Alvin said, you know, to us and also to the media contingent when he did the scrum after the trade deadline had expired. But so if you want to trade Besser and you want high value, you want to flip that for something else, what can you flip a second round pick for to find a difference making player?
It would have to be part of a package,
right?
Or something else.
But even a second is probably not getting that done, right? So my point being, as I mentioned yesterday, this team wanted to get assets and then flip it for somebody else if they were doing so, right? Somebody that can help them long-term, Josh Norris type, right? A second-round pick's not helping you make that deal.
No.
Right? Now, would a first-round pick do it if you do two firsts, potentially? But it's very clear that both Buffalo and Ottawa wanted a player back right now that can help them. They made a swap for players.
They want NHL players.
And we know Buffalo doesn't want prospects and picks. Like,
no.
they're done with that, right?
Yeah.
So you couldn't meet the ask in that sense, and you couldn't turn the Besser return into the player that you wanted, even if it was a second-round pick. I can sit here with you guys and say I would rather have the second-round pick, but to them, even if it was a second, I'm not sure that's compelling enough for them either, right? Like, is that something that they're willing to do, considering they want to be in this playoff race? Like, they talk about they value being in the playoff race, and I know people get irate when they hear that, but they clearly do.
It's clear that they valued the playoff push as part of, you know, the balance of keeping Brock as their own rental and versus just getting him rid of moving him for whatever you could get. And, you know, that's the difference between a team like Vancouver and the Bruins today, where the Bruins are like, you know what, we're trading anything that we can and getting what we can and trying to retool in the summer. Whereas the Canucks are more still very much in the playoff picture and wanting to not prioritize that, but not wanting to punt on that.
I would say, too, I do find Boston to be in a bit of a tougher situation sense.
Boston, I don't know how they get out of that mess.
Like, they have a couple guys, like Pastrnak, obviously, and Charlie Coyle, and, you know, they committed to some other guys.
Charlie McAvoy, they traded
Charlie Coyle. But those two guys are real foundational, nice players. But they kind of need to take a couple steps back to get there. But they have they have time because Pastrnak is still signed for, like, I think 5 or 6 more years. Charlie McAvoy signed into the future. They can be patient.
Yeah.
Can the Canucks be as patient with Quinn Hughes?
Nope.
And this is not to make excuses for the organization. This is where they find themselves, right? But this is the situation you have to solve now. Like, you're on a far shorter timeline to be able to flip this around.
Well, this is part of the tightrope that they signed up for when, you know, they doubled down on this core after the previous regime had all the struggles that they did, right? And you could have gone – when they first took over, they could have gone through – look, when they first took over, I never would have traded Pettersson and Hughes.
No.
Never. I never would have even entertained that. But you could have gone down the road of trading Miller and Horvat at the time and committing to maybe a bit more of like, hey, we're taking 3 steps back right now and hoping to take 4 steps forward in the future with the assets that we're getting in return for both Miller and Horvat. But they chose to, you know, try and navigate that path. And they've done it pretty well, or they did it pretty well last year, and now this year it's not working out as well.
I don't disagree with this take from Cole Harbour Hayden, and others have said it as well. You can't say you take a second for Brock, otherwise we'd be crucifying Alvi for getting the same return as Bevilier. Like, I don't disagree. Like, I think if the offer was a second, some would be happy, say at least they got something. They would point to Brad Marchand, who was also injured, a different situation, and had a far more stringent no-trade list, and
Boston
did him a favor.
Well, Boston essentially said, like, where do you want to go?
And we'll take, you know, you're so important to us that we'll send you there. And who knows if he ends up signing back with them next day. Like, we'll see what happens here with Marchand, right? But I don't disagree with that take. I do think, like, a sec. We can sit here and talk about it. Hey, you should have at least got a second. I don't think it would have pleased everybody in the fan base at all.
Next one from Alstar. Why accrue all that cap space to literally do nothing? I hope they apologize to all those players going up and down and losing the NHL money.
You know what? Like, I understand people's frustration on this. I get it. Like, and I wish they would have used the cap space too, right? Like, we all wish they would have used it.
But on what?
No, 100%. I get it. But two things. Had the Canucks been in a better position as a team?
Yeah.
Then the accrued cap space could have gone for rentals. They could have been aggressive in the rental market. They weren't because they weren't a contender, right? So the pursuit of the cap space is the correct one because the Canucks came into the season being capped out, came into the season needing flexibility, and they were fancying themselves as a team that could take a step and be more than just a playoff team, right? So isn't the pursuit of that to create cap space? Like, the process, like, don't boo the process. The result didn't work out because the season ended up, you know, turning pear-shaped, but the pursuit of cap space and creating that cap space and doing those things to give yourself options, that's a completely correct process. It didn't work out, but the process isn't the issue in terms of creating cap space. They certainly failed on executing on it, but the process of accruing cap space makes all the sense in the world, and I hope to do it again if they need to do it again.
Yeah, I don't really disagree on that. You know, they planned to be a buyer. They came into the season planning to be a buyer at the deadline, and they didn't end up being that. So I don't disagree with anything you just said. Again, I think it comes back to you didn't choose a lane here on deadline day. You didn't buy, you didn't sell, you did the Stan Pat thing, and that's where people are like, well, you didn't sell and you didn't add to this team to help for the playoff push, so I'm going to criticize you on both ends of the spectrum because of that. And that's where I think a lot of people are. At the same time, as Patrick said to us earlier, and he said with the media, it's like, you know, the rental market for Anthony Beauvillier, Andre Kuzmenko, was fairly expensive. So what are we talking about getting? Robbie Fabry, you know? Jason Zucker re-signed in Buffalo today.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And they signed Greenway.
Sabres are such a weird team.
Listen, we're not a good hockey team, but let's keep all the guys.
And move the young right shot center. And a second-round pick. Anyways, it's... That's why it's confusing for fans. But you can't knock the process, right? For a team that expected to be better than they have been this year, accruing the cap space was a necessary process for them through the early part of the season. That became extremely difficult to navigate because of the injury situations they found themselves in. It's just it didn't work out. You know, you can't just go out and be buying stuff today because, well, I spent all year accruing the cap space, so now I got to go get some rentals just because.
Yeah, I think the disappointing part was with the cap space, they weren't able to facilitate trades either. Now, in fairness, there weren't a ton of trades.
They tried for Norris and Cousins.
They did. No, I'm
or
saying
one
they also,
or the other.
I'm saying they weren't able to use the cap space to facilitate trades as a third party to retain cap space, right? But today, how many of those trades happened today?
But they also wanted to save their final retention spot for a potential Besser deal.
Yeah, no, for sure.
As Alvin mentioned.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah. Just minutes ago.
And obviously that didn't come to fruition either.
Yeah.
But also, like, how many third-party teams made trades today? There weren't a ton third parties. It happened yesterday. So, like, to that point, for people wondering about that, it's like there weren't a lot of deals that happened today that a third party was required.
Yeah.
And because the Canucks only had the one retention spot,
which they were ultimately saving in case of a Brock Besser deal,
That complicates it. But, yeah, I would have loved to have seen them retain some salary if possible, but it just didn't line up, obviously.
We got a couple more here. This one from Compsonati. If the Canucks were to somehow land Sam Bennett in the summer with Brock Besser's money, would it make Besser walking more justifiable?
I think they've got enough space that they could maybe make a push for Bennett and keep Brock Besser at the same time. But yeah, if you're able to land a Sam Bennett, I think that's probably something on this team's priority list. The thing about Sam Bennett is, like, is he going to be a guy? I love the player, okay? I don't want to get this misconstrued here. I'm a big Sam Bennett fan. I loved what he brought for Team Canada in a fourth-line center role in the Four Nations face-off, and I think he should probably be a part of Team Canada's Olympic squad even next year. In some way, shape, or form, because the sandpaper that he brings is just a wonderful sight to see. But are you going to be willing to pay $7.5 to $8 million for Sam Bennett, who's probably a 40 to 50 point player, and is going to get overpaid in free agency this summer?
With the cap going up and you needing players, so would you rather pay Besser or pay Sam Bennett? So if you're looking at, so Besser wants $7 to $8 million per year.
Yeah.
You're saying that Bennett's going to get $7 to $8 million per year.
Yeah.
One's a far better goal scorer and been more productive.
Yeah.
This year, Bennett's actually been more productive, but, you know, that's for their careers.
I'd rather have Bennett.
Point made.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd rather have Bennett.
So I think that's the way I look at it. It's like, unless you can get the Rantanen and Tyson or guys of that at caliber, or even Gensel last year, that's why were we arguing pay Gensel 9 or 10?
Yeah.
Like, get him if you can. Because
yeah.
It's hard to find guys. Like, you see how good he's been this year too, right? They're hard players to find. And the next step down is you're overpaying for guys.
Yeah.
You're overpaying for guys who are not going to live up to it. Either they're not going to score enough goals or points to live up to the money, or they're not well-rounded enough for you to feel good about it. Like Besser, for instance, does he do enough other good things? And is he an independent driver for you to feel good if he scores 30 goals even?
Yeah.
For him getting paid $8 million for 5 to 6 years, it's still good. Like, I still take as far as 30 goals, and I think the money's worth it. But you're not getting this massive surplus value on it.
We'll end with this one from Basketball Phil. Should they trade Brock or Suter's rights before July 1st, and what round of pick would they expect in return?
It's inconsequential, to be honest.
Suter is like I don't think
Suter's not. I don't think anybody's giving you anything for Besser or Suter's rights to a deal.
Okay, so maybe you get like a sixth round pick. That's what we're talking about here.
What did Tampa get, or what did Carolina
third.
Get?
Third.
A third for Gensler?
Which is pretty good.
That's the high end. The third is like the high end. Like if you're one of the better UFAs.
You couldn't get a first on deadline day for Brock Besser as a rental. You're going to get a third for his rights?
You're not. You're not. And that's like the high end.
Like, what are we doing here?
Because that's how little they think of the draft picks in the future. But that's kind of you're not going to get a ton. And the rules have changed where you can't just trade for a guy and give the extra year anyways.
Yeah.
So it's really just about negotiation rights.
Yeah.
So
it's really about just getting him before he's able to talk to other teams.
That is it. And a mailbag.
That's it.
What a wild mailbag. a trade deadline mailbag. We will save the funny questions for Fridays in the future. We're going to start getting more into the details of tonight's matchup between the Minnesota Wild and the Vancouver Canucks here at Rogers Arena. That's coming up next. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. By the way, trade deadline coverage on Sports at 650 brought to you by AJ's Pizza on East Broadway for diehard pizza people. Order online at AJ's.pizza. You are listening to Canuck Central.